You rejected the glorious news, you come once again. God having preserved your life for another week, some people have not been that blessed. Preserving your life for another week to come to this place and be given another opportunity to be affected by this news again. Though 7 days has went by, the news remains the same. Sin is still sin. God still hates sin. It still separates from Him. You are born in that condition. You remain in that condition until salvation, hopeless and on your way to hell. That has not changed either. So what can make the difference this week that was absent last week? What can be different in your life now? What can bring you to receive this news that you were missing last week? Again, the news hasn't changed. If you're unsaved, your condition hasn't changed. The need is still present. So what can bring about a change this week that was missing last week? What can be present in your life right near and right now that was obviously not present last week? In a word, faith. Faith. Instead of breaking news this morning, we have for you an in-depth report answering the question, what is faith? I mean, think about it this morning as you consider. You hear about faith all the time. As we preach the Word of God, the shorthand for salvation comes out many times as faith and trust in Christ. You hear people say, you must live or walk by faith. We'll read that here today. You hear people talk about faith in their own life, faith in the lives of others, faith in the lives of those in the Bible. But what is faith? What is it to you this morning as you hear the question asked? How do you define what faith is? What do you think about faith? We understand faith to be central to the accepting and receiving of the news that we talked about last week. Read with me Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Many of you probably have it memorized. But as we call evidence, or as we look to our source of information, that is the Word of God here today, to teach us what faith is, we see here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 that faith is essential to salvation. It is essential to receiving that news that we brought you last week. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For or because by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 5 and verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Both of these verses show us that faith is imperative for salvation to come. If you were present last week in the unsaved, natural, born condition of depravity and of sin and on your way to hell and were not changed, it is because you had no faith. Faith was not present. Faith was not a reality in your life, because it takes faith to receive that news. It takes faith to believe. It is a work of grace wrought in the heart, but it is wrought through the vehicle of faith. In fact, we'll find in our text this morning that without faith, the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible. If you entered this morning being unsaved and without faith, that is further evidence for you that in your condition, it is an impossibility for you to please God in any way, because you lack faith. Because you lack faith. But again, though it has such a central role in salvation, that cannot be denied. We ask the question, what is faith? And once having established for us this morning what faith is, we need to ask the question, how does one obtain it? That it might be a benefit to them unto salvation. Or, for those of us that are already saved, what is faith to us today? What is it in our present daily lives, and how do we use it? As we walk in this present sinful world. Now many of us will have a differing thought or idea of what faith is or what faith is not. Many will believe, or some will say, that faith is an attitude. It's a moral virtue. Some will say that faith is a mental state or an assent to something revealed. Basically saying, well, I suppose that is true. I can't argue with that. Some will believe that faith is a response to facts and their acceptance. Some will say that faith is mere confidence in someone or something. That faith is trust. That faith is these things. And some of these things describe what faith does. Some of these things teach us or reveal something to us about faith, but these things are far too shallow to be what faith is. To be what this faith that we're talking about is. As we try to ascertain what this faith is, ask yourself, is faith closing your eyes, lining up on one side of I-75 and walking across to the other, is that faith? Some people would lead you to believe that it is. And if pushed hard enough and someone said, do this, prove your faith and you refuse, they would accuse you of being faithless and not trusting God. Is faith getting close enough to a venomous snake for it to bite you, for it to strike you, just to see if it will remain where it is? Is faith leaving the hospital after finding out that your child has to have surgery, finding the first person on the street and saying, come and operate on my child? Some people would say, oh, trust God. It'll all work out. God will work miraculously in that. But all of these things that I've described are not faith. Could someone safely navigate from one side of 75 to the other? I suppose they could, with their eyes shut. But does that prove faith? Could someone handle a venomous snake and not get bitten? Of course they can. But does that prove faith? Could someone that you meet on the street, that you've never known before, operate on your child and it be a success? It's possible. It's possible for it to happen if that person had been a surgeon in all their life and those kinds of things. But you see, this kind of faith that most people think about and that most people demand of themselves and of others is completely blind. It's a blind leap. And that's how most people view faith. They say, just simply have faith and it'll all work out. They say, just go from one side of that road to the other, and if God's with you, you'll not be touched. That's not, I mean, there's a fine line between being brave and being stupid, as the saying goes. That's not faith. That's someone seeking to control what you are and what you do, and it's not God. These things do not describe for us the faith that brings about salvation. These things do not describe for us the faith that causes us to live and serve God to His honor and glory each and every day. These things do not describe for us what the Bible means when it says salvation comes through faith. That it's by grace through faith. It's not about having a blind leap mentality or attitude. Faith is much more than that. Faith is real. Faith is something that is given and something that is that is bestowed upon another and becomes such a reality that it makes everything about God, everything about His Word, everything about our lives in His service real, and gives us a great possession in this life. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. As we want to discover what faith is this morning, of course we know we have a more sure word of prophecy. Therefore, we turn to Scripture to find out what faith is, and we see in verse number 1 of chapter number 11, the Bible says, "Now faith is." This is a pretty good place to look, isn't it? To find out what it is. Some person in the fake news of modern religion might tell you faith is some of these sort of ridiculous things that we've told you about this morning. Some of them will get you to believe that. We'll try to get you to think that, but they are not the source. Here it is. Now faith is. Faith is. If you go back to verse number 38 of chapter 10, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us here emphatically, such that we don't have to wonder, such that we don't have to search, such that we don't have to trust alternate sources. Faith is. The definition follows in these verses, and then evidence is given to stack up how faith looks in the lives of God's people all throughout this chapter. When we talk about faith, walking by faith, when we talk about encouraging people to simply have faith or to come to Christ by faith, sometimes it seems as if we are talking about some mystical thing. Sometimes it seems like we are talking about something that is supposed to make a theoretical difference in our lives, but it's hard to quantify. It seems like we're talking about something abstract. Something that's maybe just an idea that is out there. Something that is just a theme of religion, a higher thought that one needs to look to or live to. That's how it comes across a lot of times. It's how it's approached. This is the approach that many take to faith. And as long as that is the approach that you have to faith here this morning, you will not find salvation. If that's the approach you're taking after salvation, you are not able to walk by faith, because faith is not some abstract idea. Faith is not some blind leap that gets us to do something crazy. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. We see that kind of faith has no impact upon our life. The reality is, as described in this passage, that the faith that saved, the faith that emboldens us and leads us to walk in this life to the honor and glory of God, the faith that we can and should walk by and on account of, is a real, tangible possession. It's not some mystical force. It's not some higher ideal of theological reason. It's not something that escapes definition and is unable to quantify. There are 35 or 36 verses in this chapter that quantify what faith has done for God's people. What faith has meant for them in their lives and what they have done by that faith. It is real. And it is ours to have. I believe God would have us to know that. That faith is real. That faith is far from abstract. We see here in verse number 1 that faith is described to us in two ways. And these two words have something very important in common. They both point to the fact that faith is a real possession. That faith is something that we can tangibly and spiritually cling to, hold on to, and use in our lives. It tells us here that faith is substance. And that faith is evidence. So that's what it says here in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. These things show to us that faith is real. It's not abstract. It has substance. Faith is real. It's not just an idea. It is evidence to us. The word evidence immediately conjures up in your mind things that really exist to what? To prove something. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Substance should conjure up in your mind the idea of being able to lay hold. There is substance to this table here this morning. That's why when I hit it, it makes a noise. The ideas that float around in modern religion, there's no substance there. In philosophy, in psychology, that try to get you to do this or that. Or that might lead you to do a parlor trick like walking on hot coals to prove how tough your faith is. All of those things, they're not real. They're not real. They're an abstract idea. Faith has substance. It is real to us today. Understand that these are the words that God has chosen. Get that? These are the words that God has chosen to describe to us what the faith that is required to please Him is all about. The faith that is required. I mean, that's plain from the end of verse 5 where it said that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And then immediately in verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible. What's that tell us? Of course, that Enoch had great faith because he pleased God. It's an important subject. This subject that means we can receive and we can believe that good news and we can get to the place where we please God, it all hinges on faith. And that important of a subject, God chose these two words to define for us, to describe for us, and to show us what this faith is. It is substance. It is evidence that present to us a very tangible and a very useful benefit, forming for us a firm persuasion of the power, the love, and faithfulness of God in Christ. Not just because a book told us that man has written, not just because a preacher told us that, but because we have a real possession that we can hold on to, that convinces us, that shows us. These things are so. Think about these two words. First of all, substance. We understand this word to communicate to us that faith has an actual existence in our life. It has an actual existence in our life. It is alive. It is real. Though it is spiritual, so that our physical eye cannot see it, it doesn't mean that it is not. It is not real. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It certainly does. And it is something that we possess if we are saved and if we please God. Although, again, it is a spiritual one. It is one with substance. Faith should be something to you that is substantial. Something to you that is important. And that shapes and molds your life. Something that is so real to you that you couldn't imagine living 1 hour of one day without that faith. It is substantive in your life. You know, when you're on a diet, you eat lettuce. Not a whole lot of substance there, is there? It's not that great. Compare that to a T-bone steak. There's a lot of substance there. There's a lot to go out. There's a lot there for you to see and touch and taste and be a part of you. That's what faith is like. It is a substance to us that improves our life. It is a substance to us that encourages us, a substance to us that gives us ability. This word also speaks of a substructure or foundation. That substance, things can be built upon it. It can support things. It can bear up under the weight of whatever is placed upon it. That which our life is to rest upon is this faith. Third, substance means of a substantial quality or nature. That which brings about confidence, trust, and assurance. So then understand that confidence, trust, and assurance is the byproduct of the substance of faith, not faith itself. It's the byproduct of it, not faith itself. Faith is substance. It is real. It is tangible. It is a possession for us that we have with us every single day if we're saved by the grace of God, because it was a gift of God at the time of salvation. It is substance. God chose that word that we might relate it to things we see and things we touch and things we know, to understand it's not just an abstract idea without any body to it, without any merit. But He has given it to us to be substantial in our lives. The second word, evidence, is seen here in verse 1 as describing faith. Faith is evidence or proof which testifies of that which is true and right and real. The word evidence always leads you to think about court. Leads you to think about someone being on trial or someone trying to prove their innocence or whatever. They bring evidence. Evidence is something that is real. It can be a recording of a phone conversation. It can be, a weapon that was used or supposedly used. It can be transcripts of phone calls. It can be a variety of things. But what they have in common is that they exist, don't they? And they work together to form a testimony. They work together to form a narrative that says this is what actually occurred. This is what is real. This is where the truth lies. This is what you should believe because of all of this evidence. Faith is evidence to us today. Faith actively works upon us to show us what is right and what is wrong, to prove to us what God says is true, and therefore we can believe, we can trust, we can have confidence in it. Therefore, we can be saved by grace through faith, and then we can live by faith without the need for external proof. Without the need for science, without the need for history, without the need for touch and seeing and feeling with the physical. Faith is not a physical possession or substance, but a spiritual one. Faith is also not physical evidence, that really can be seen. We see our Bibles and we read them. Yes, I know. But faith is evidence of the spiritual sort that proves to us in a substantive way that what God says is true, can be trusted, and therefore we ought to follow, putting our faith and trust in Christ. That's what faith does. It's true and it's real, and therefore we can take God at His word when He says, do this and be blessed. Honor me with your life. I'll take care of you for all of your days. Evidence also, as it comes to us from verse 1, means conviction. Faith, through its evidence, convicts us of what to believe and how to live. How can someone stand up here and emphatically say that Jesus Christ died, He was buried, and that He rose again for our sins? I don't have any physical proof to show you. I don't have pictures that documented. I don't have a medical examiner's report to show you. I don't have physical evidence, but what I do have is far greater. The substance of faith. The foundation which it lays so that the evidence thereof can teach and can lead to conviction. That we believe it, that we trust it, that we know it is true, not by a blind leap. Like trying to play Frogger on 75 with your eyes closed. It's not that. For you to believe and trust in Christ this morning, He does not ask for a blind leap. Saying, well, I guess this might be okay, we'll give it a shot. It's not what He's asking for. What it takes is faith, which is substance, a foundation, evidence, which you receive by that faith that tells you that Christ is real. His death, burial, and resurrection is real. It was for my sin. It is real. And therefore, I completely trust that that is so. And He did it for me. That is what faith does for us. It's far more than the parlor tricks and the fake news of modern religion. It is proof that we are given to believe and trust what God says is true and to act accordingly, both unto salvation and then afterwards unto living. Now with these two statements in mind about faith, we begin to get a picture of what faith is and the effect that faith has upon our lives. Again, we notice that it tells us here in verse 1 that faith is substance, but notice it doesn't stop there. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it is the foundation which our hopes rest upon. Again, the word hope here is not used in the same way that someone might say, I hope that it doesn't rain tomorrow. Really, when we use the word hope in our common language, we're saying is, I would prefer, and it would be better for me that it doesn't happen that way, or that it does happen that way. We have hopes in that way, but again, those are very shallow. Those are even abstract, and those we don't even have any idea of what they're going to happen or what's going to take place with them. But there are many things that God has said, I promise to do this, therefore we have hope. But how do you know that that applies to you? How do you know that that can be something that is yours? How can you do it? By faith, having the substance of that which God has promised. In other words, faith is a possession of those things. Right now, a spiritual possession of those things that are yet to come. Our hope is Jesus Christ. Our hope for all of eternity comes through His death, burial, and resurrection and His soon coming for His people to take us to be where He is, surrounding the throne of the Father. That is our hope. How do we know that applies to us? By faith, because we have substance of that hope. The only hope I have that it won't rain tomorrow is just that. I don't have any assurance. I don't have any idea. Look at the weather. The weathermen don't know either. And so I have nothing substantive that I can found that hope or that belief on. I have no possession of whether it will rain or not tomorrow whatsoever. But I have a possession already within me. This faith. This faith that is something that is real and that teaches me that what God has promised is so. And the glory that will be revealed in me is already partially mine by faith. We can see then that this is more than a feeling or abstract understanding, more than a blind leap in the dark, but it's a real possession and it's the substance of hope for everything that is to come. The Bible tells us there in Ephesians chapter number 1 that those that are without God are also without hope. Why is it? Because hope doesn't exist? No, it does. We have talked about death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So what's the difference? Why do they not have any hope? They don't have any possession of it. They don't have anything substantive in their life concerning it because they don't have faith. They don't have faith. They can try to live their life and just blindly go and blindly do and try to say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and whatever God works out, He works out, and what He does and He doesn't, and all that sounds good to a point. But that's not what saving faith is about. Saving faith is God granting to you the substantive foundation, possession of the hope that when you die, your body's going in the grave and your soul's going to heaven. Are you convinced of that right now where you sit in this moment? Are you convinced of it? I don't have any proof physically. I couldn't produce tangible, touch it, see it evidence. But I know that it's true. Because faith is the substance. It is the reality of that which I hope for in the future that will come to pass. This has a profound impact upon our lives because it makes heaven real to us. It makes the promises of God as good as done. And the more active, vibrant, and alive that our faith is, the more productive we will be in our walk for the Lord in this life, because once we're saved, we are called to what? To walk by faith. To walk by faith. Again, not the blind leap in the dark, but He calls us to walk according to the substance of hope. He calls us to walk according to the evidence. The evidence, as it goes on to say in verse number 1, of things not seen. That's how we are to walk. It is the proof of what we cannot see. It is a possession that gives us the ability to be fully convinced of that which we could never, ever lay eyes on or touch. Just as much as I know this table is here because I have touched it, I have seen it, I understand its makeup and its quality, just as much as I know that is real through that physical evidence that is produced, I know that Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again, all for my sin. I know that when He's coming back, He will rapture me out and take me to be with Him. I know that. Not because I'm a good person, not because I've learned and studied and read, not because of any of those things, simply because of faith, giving me the evidence. The evidence is this faith. Faith gives eyes to our soul, the ability to spiritually see and be convinced of truth, to rest in the promises of God that are yet to come, and should impact us greatly, giving us the ability to believe, to be convinced and convicted of the truth, to live our lives accordingly. And if our faith is alive and active and vibrant after salvation, then we will find ourselves doing things like the heroes of the faith that are recorded in this chapter do. We notice here in verse number 2 that it is by faith that the elders obtained a good report. Meaning that it is by faith that they pleased God. It says, for by it, or by faith, the elders obtained a good report. First, entrusting Christ for salvation through faith, and then by walking according to substance and evidence that which God had given him, said, here, believe this because of the faith I'm giving you. As we've already noted in verse 6, it's impossible to please God without it. Without faith, there can be no trust, no belief, no conviction, no foundation. Without faith, we are walking blind. The very thing that modern religion tells you to do. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be blindly walking around in the dark, hoping I'm going in the right direction, praying that this is the right thing to do and that everything is going to just take care of itself. I don't want that. I want to take this real, tangible, present thing that God has given me called faith, and I want to live it out in my life. That it would take me to where God would have me to go. That it would lead me to believe the things that God has says are true. That I would not walk by sight. We see here in verse number 6, not only is it impossible to please God without faith, notice here it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's salvation. Not just like the demons believe, oh yes, God exists. But to believe that he is. Reference that with what God told Moses his name was in Exodus, the great I am. He's saying here that when you come to me, you have to believe that I am. I am. The one who is in control of all things. That I am. The one who can destroy both body and soul in hell, as Matthew 10:28 says. They must believe that he is, that he exists, that he's over all things, that he's a faithful rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And none of that is possible. None of it is possible apart from faith. There is a part of you that will acknowledge that there is a God. But that's not faith. You got all the physical evidence in the world around you to prove to you that there's a God. That's not faith. Just seeing me standing here in front of you and how that God has fearfully and wonderfully made me and everyone else here this morning proves to you that there's a God. We see in verse number 3, the orderly arrangement of the universe proves to you that there's a God. But, by faith we believe that God has created all things. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Case closed. There is no such thing as evolution. Things which do appear now are not made by things which now exist. I mean, that's really what evolution is, right? In a nutshell, I mean, it's a lie in a simplified form. Really, evolution says that I'm getting better and therefore I'm going to make of myself something better. So right here in this verse, the very definition of faith shows us that evolution can't be. Why? Because whatever exists today didn't come from what existed yesterday. It came from God. Through faith we understand. Through faith, we see that God created all things, that they were framed by Him, or they were orderly arranged. We believe that the things we see now have come from God. Faith gives us the substance and evidence to know how the world came to be. And now you take that doctrine and then you add to it all the other doctrines of the Bible that forms for us the revelation of God, and we can believe it by faith. Again, God doesn't ask us to take a blind leap. We'll just believe that all things sprang up by the word of my power. He doesn't say, just believe it by blind leap in the dark. No, he says, here's faith. Faith is the evidence. Because I am giving to you the ability to believe it, therefore it is true. Why would God give you the ability to believe things that are not so? He wouldn't do that, would He? So again, faith truly is the victory. Again, more than just a blind trust or an empty knowledge. It is substance. It is evidence. Now let's bring this report to a conclusion. The rest of chapter 11 of Hebrews contains how God's people over the course of time have walked by faith in this present evil world. So we have defined what faith is. The Bible very clearly says this is what faith is. It is substance. It is evidence. It is the ability to believe and trust that what God said is so. The question we want to finish up is how does one secure this faith? Where does it come from? It's different than your faith in people. Different than your trust and your confidence that they will do the right thing when push comes to shove. It's different from faith in your trusty car to get you from here to there. Some people will say, and we all would probably agree with this statement, that we've lost faith in the current political system in our country. That's not biblical saving faith. What you're saying is we've lost confidence. We've lost the ability to believe that anything is so that they say. That kind of faith is experimental. Why don't we believe it anymore? Because we have seen the downgrade. We have seen the collapse. We have seen by evidence that it can't be trusted. You can trust your car. At least you think you probably can. You're 98% sure. Why? Because it's always gotten you from A to B. That is experimental. It comes based upon what you know to be true and what your experiment or experiences are. But the kind of faith that we're talking about this morning, that it takes to have for salvation, to walk by in this world, to please God, it's not based on these things. It is the gift of God. God says, here it is. I'm giving you substance and I'm giving you evidence that everything in this book is true. I'm giving you substance and I'm giving you evidence, a foundation to work off of to know that Christ died for you. Everyone who has imparted faith will exercise that faith to believe and trust in Christ. Everyone. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. It so clearly and plainly shows us here in verse number 8. We are not capable of this kind of faith without God giving it to us, that we may use it to believe and trust in Christ, as Ephesians 2:8 here so plainly identifies and says to us. Again, for by grace are ye saved through faith. We understand that it is not a work. It's not earned. It comes from God. The free gift. His giving to us that which we do not deserve. But understand that the salvation spoken of here, that rescue of our soul from the pits of hell, that release of the bondage of sin, that being taken from the depths of depravity and delivered into the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ, it comes through faith. Grace means that we didn't earn it. But faith is how it comes. You can't have it without faith. You say, well, how do I conjure that up? How do I build up enough faith to believe? How can I convince myself? Believe me, I tried to do it for a lot of years. People here thought that I was saved for a lot of years. And I got to the place where I knew that that wasn't the case. I'd get on my knees at the bedtime and I would pray or try to pray and I would read and I would say, all right, I'm convinced, I'm saved. Wake up the next morning, you know what? Not so. You can't make up this kind of faith. It is impossible. It's impossible for you to do, and therefore it's impossible for you to please God. This faith, it tells us here, must be present. And notice, after the semicolon, and that, not of yourselves. The that here is in reference to the faith. The faith does not come from you. No matter how much you come to church, no matter how much you read your Bible, no matter how much you try to do good, no matter how much you try to convince yourself, does it come from you? It is the gift of God. God bestows upon you the great gift of faith. Christ could have died as He has done, buried and risen again, and your life not be altered whatsoever unless God bestow upon you this great gift of faith, which gives you substance and evidence that Christ did all of those things and that He did them for you. And that is what you base your trust in Christ upon. Not upon all the knowledge, not upon all the other things, but upon that faith that God has given and imparted. In Acts 20, and I think it's 21, when they came preaching, what did they come preaching? Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. It is essential. It comes from God. He gives you the gift. And He says, here it is. This is proof that everything that is said about Christ is true. Once that faith is imparted, trust, confidence, belief, however you want to word it, in Christ is possible and does come pretty much immediately. To the lost, you need this kind of faith to have substance or foundation that is sure to believe that Christ died for you. It gives you evidence that you can be convinced in your soul that Christ died for you, paid your sin debt, and now you're saved. To the saved, it is this faith that needs to be vibrant, active, and alive. We're not going to spend any more time on it this morning, but faith is the gift of God. He imparts it to us. And He never takes it away. But it becomes our possession, and we are to be good stewards of the possession of faith. We need to nurture it. We need to take care of it. We need to do everything that we can in this life for it to be a vibrant, alive kind of faith, such that we can walk by it and please God. That's how these heroes of the faith walked and lived. That's how they were able to accomplish these great and glorious things. Because they had an active, vibrant, alive faith, a substance to ground everything on, evidence to lead them to believe, be convinced of, convicted of, and to know that they are true. And the consequences, therefore, did not matter. Not matter in the least. That's the kind of faith when the Bible says, like in Hebrews 10:38, the just shall walk by faith. That's what He's talking about. I know that faith plays out in different ways in our lives, but that's the possession, that's the reality. So do you have faith this morning? Do you believe in Christ by the gift of faith from God? I pray that you do. If not, we pray that God will impart this gift of faith that you might believe. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of closing hymn.